This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Our psalm reading comes from 139 verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18 in the Common English Bible. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me, front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deepest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written that was being formed for me before any one of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they'd outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you.
Our second scripture reading today comes to us from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. We don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. God said that light should shine out of darkness. He is the same one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay pots so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. We who are alive are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life can be seen in our bodies that are dying. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, just as you care for all of the flowers, the weeds, the fields, you care for us, you water, you nourish. May your word nourish us in spirit today. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our heart, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's that time of the year. Graduation for high school is coming up. Some schools have already graduated. It's that time of the year. Graduation. Some students are launching out, trying to find new jobs for a new career post-school. Some are coming back home, trying to find summer employment, be able to pay for school, to have some fun. There's many different types of interviews that you have to go through. You've probably all experienced different job interviews, and some maybe are a little more enjoyable than others. Some are really kind of bizarre, and you walk away from them going, what just happened? It's interesting to hear some of those awkward questions that candidates get asked once in a while. There's a newer pastoral candidate that was just asked a question recently by a pastor nominating committee at a Presbyterian church. And the pastor's like, why? What? I don't get this. The question was, if you were a dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be and why? There were all sorts of, interesting comments in this thread online about, why, as Presbyterians, they might ask about being a dinosaur, but those little tidbits aside, the reality is it was more than likely a chance to see how does this candidate react to an unexpected situation. How well do they think quickly on their feet? It's probably just one of those unique questions that they had a purpose for. There are many different questions that get tossed out like this. One of the questions that get asked quite commonly, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? And most people, don't really mind sharing their strengths. They know what the job is that they're applying for, and, well, here are my strengths for this job, but the weaknesses, the younger a person is, or even sometimes throughout life, it's hard to say, here are my weaknesses. It's often used as a question to assess where your self-awareness is. Are you aware of the weaknesses that you have? None of us are perfect. None of us can do everything. We all have weaknesses. What are those weaknesses and how does that impact you? Are you at least aware of them so it doesn't impact everybody else around you? It's a good strategy to ask for that one. So someone might, be able to answer a question like that. Well, my greatest weakness is patience. But rather than allowing my impatience to become troublesome for everybody, I've learned to find some positive, lighthearted ways that I can name that to my coworkers, and they realize, okay, I'm quite impatient, and they know that, we have the conversations, and it actually motivates everybody. And just by naming that, we can all get a whole lot more done. I kind of turn it into a way of being able to motivate those who are around me. Now, a good HR person, they may like that one, but they may also see through it and go, yeah, that doesn't match up with all the reference checks that we did on you, and you had that answer well rehearsed, that's not you. Whatever the case may be. We get asked those weird questions. But no matter what, we need to embrace our weaknesses. That means we need to become aware of them first. Sometimes that's hard. Now, in the case of that new pastoral candidate being asked, what's your favorite dinosaur and why? If their weakness was, in fact, being able to think quickly on their feet, they might want to just name that and kind of turn that into some sort of way of gaining some more dialogues. Just to say, wow, I wasn't really expecting that question. Honestly, I'm not great coming up with perfect answers right on the cuff. I like to think about it just a little bit, and honestly, I'm having trouble thinking of anything other than a T-Rex right now, and my arms aren't short enough to be a T-Rex, so what are some other dinosaur names? And then there's different names about, oh, Brontosaurus, oh, that's a great one. Yeah, I don't think they were meat eaters, were they? So, they probably didn't get into fights and with the other dinosaurs, so maybe that's like me. I'd maybe be a Brontosaurus, because I don't eat up everybody else around me, Then again, I don't really like salads, but, could find a way to engage with that. But to name it, that's a weakness of mine. Help me out. And they might turn that into a positive way. Sometimes, though, there are those weaknesses that we have that they're just there. And for most of us, growing up, it was not part of society for us to admit openly our weaknesses. Fortunately, that stigma is fading away more and more, and we're able to name some of our weaknesses, some of those imperfections. We don't need to have such a fake persona. We don't need to wear that mask and pretend like we have everything together. we can say, yeah, you know what? I really struggle with this, but I'm aware of it and I'm working on it. Even though it's changing, it's hard for us to admit our weaknesses. We need to have a safe space, and in our society, naming our weakness or perceived weakness, we can often get attacked. The church should be the one safe place where we can gather together and trust one another enough to be able to say, you know what? I messed up. I really am terrible at this. I need some help. And we work together. Now, in naming our weaknesses, I'm not advocating, you know, for that type of naming weaknesses as some sort of excuse. Well, you know, I'm no good at public speaking, but I still want to be hired as the pastor of your church, and I'm just going to, you know, I'll write sermons, but somebody else is going to have to preach them for me. No, that doesn't really work out. What I'm talking about today is actually the opposite. Embracing the weaknesses as a unique quality that's actually helpful. So if, in fact, a pastor didn't like public speaking, and there are quite a few who are out there that God has called into ministry, and they detest public speaking. In the midst of that imperfection, God uses them, and people can see their anxiety and realize, wow, if they can do that, I can do. For me, I have wrestled with God ever since I was about 18 years old and felt that first call into ministry. I'm terrible remembering names. I get even my own family names mixed up once in a while. I'll look at someone that I should know their name and total blank. Been that way since forever. It takes me a little while before I can pull it out. Why, God? Why did you call me into ministry? Names are important. I know that. And I mess them up all the time. And I hurt people unintentionally. That is a weakness that I have. And yet, God uses that. I can name the fact that, yeah, names are important. And I can apologize and say, I messed up on your name. I'm sorry. And cultivate a deeper relationship through that. Embracing our weakness can be helpful. And that's what this passage today, this text today, the Apostle Paul, he gives us a brief description about where our weaknesses, our strengths in God's eyes, for the purpose of furthering God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul gives us a brief description of what being united with the death and life of Jesus the Messiah means for how we experience our shared life together. And he does it through weaknesses that apparently were being used against him by other people. That other people were trying to undermine Paul's ministry. In 2 Corinthians 10:10, he writes, I know what some people are saying. His letters are severe and powerful, but in person, he's weak and his speech is worth nothing. And Paul, in response, says pretty clearly in our opening verse for today, we don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. And then he goes on to describe what this looks like in reality. And I think when we read through the gospel, sometimes it becomes a little too familiar, or we hear it in a larger context and we just kind of gloss over it. This text, I think, hits us differently when we pull out the descriptive words that Paul used and hear them as if they were requirements, say, for church membership. They didn't necessarily have church membership back then, but if we were to use that, here are the requirements. Experiencing trouble, confused, harassed, and knocked down. How would you like that for membership? That's our new membership class. Give us the ways, four different things, ways that you have been in experiencing trouble, that you've been confused, you've been harassed, and you've been knocked down for the sake of the kingdom. If you can name those, okay, then we'll let you be a member. Maybe we should do that every Sunday coming in. That should be an entrance thing. So in this past week, maybe we put that as one of the ponderings beforehand. In the past week, where have you been experiencing trouble? That's not what our society wants us to say. The Apostle Paul gives us an explanation of why these really should be some requirements, some expectations. He says, we are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. You see, what Paul is saying is that the real power is in the message, not the messenger. It's not about Paul. It's not about any of the other disciples, any of the other ministers. The messengers are just common, ordinary, everyday human vessels. Just like, as Jennifer said in the children's moment, a clay pot would have been for the people of his time. But God put the treasure of the gospel in human containers, ordinary vessels like Paul, the disciples, like you and I, with a purpose. That purpose is to show that the treasure of the gospel is not based on you or I. Praise be to God. No, the treasure of the gospel is not about us. We are simply disposable clay pots. Clay pots designed for that purpose of carrying the treasure of the gospel. Just as Jennifer mentioned, the bowl with the smile was for separating eggs, not for eating cereal. It has a special purpose to it. Each one of us, as the psalmist wrote, is formed uniquely with a unique purpose. How do we know what it is that we're to do and what our gifts are? It's said that when Francis of Assisi was asked how he was able to accomplish so much, his answer was, well, this may be why. The Lord looked down from heaven and said, where can I find the weakest, littlest man on earth? Then he saw me and said, ah, I've found him, and he won't be proud of it. He'll see that I'm only using him because of his insignificance. He was humble. He understood the fact that he was just an ordinary vessel, broken, clay pot. We are to embrace our weakness so that the power of God can be made visible in our lives. As I said, that's not the message the world tells us. And too many pastors, too many churches, over the past several decades especially, have really bought into church growth and worldly ways of business models of leadership, rather than really focusing on God's glory, so that God might be made visible, and that we might become more and more invisible. I believe this is the message that hits home with people today, and it's what gives us hope. We need to learn what it means to embrace our weaknesses in a way that allows God's glory to be seen in spite of us. So to illustrate this, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of clay pots holding a great treasure. In today's world, we might say we're just leftover dishes. You know, those little plastic leftover dishes that are scattered all over in cupboards and get some stains on them, they crack easily, whatever, they're kind of cheap. When you're hungry, it really doesn't matter what that leftover dish is. It may be plastic, ceramic, copper, could be gold-plated. What matters most is the food inside the container. Now, granted, some containers may have an impact on quality of the food in it and all of that. That could be another analogy we could dig into for another sermon, but still, the most important thing is the food inside. That's what really matters. That's where we get the nourishment. University Press commentary says this about this passage. The marvel of Paul's statement is not to be overlooked. The gospel minister, which that includes all Christians, the gospel minister is a vessel made of common, run-of-the-mill clay, fragile and easily broken. And yet God has entrusted the treasure of the gospel to such a vessel, just as Palestinians stored their valuables in common clay pots. Why does God do this? According to Paul, he does it to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God uses what is fragile and yet serviceable so that there might be no mistaking the origin of the gospel minister's power. Today, we will be sharing Holy Communion. This Eucharistic meal that we are about to share really doesn't depend on the containers. The containers may have a little bit of a different impact based on our previous experience and our traditions. But yet, it doesn't really matter if they're silver, if they're brass, if they're clay. What's important is what's inside and the meaning of it. I mean, we could use plastic cups and paper plates. And this holy meal would still be holy because of the mystery of Christ's presence as we share a common meal of remembering Christ ministering to his disciples as they shared that Last Supper together. What's most important for us from today's scripture text is being able to name our weaknesses in a way that our shared life together carries within it the experiences of being united with the death and life of Jesus. The treasure of the gospel is being united with the death and life of Jesus in order that we might experience the treasure of resurrection moments. Hinting back to an earlier sermon on those little death moments of life, where we need to allow that death to be embraced and to bring forth new life. We have this treasure in clay pots in ourselves, in the everyday, ordinary way that we live our life together, so that the awesome power belongs to God, and we can't claim the glory for it. All we can do is to say, yes, this is all because of God, in spite of who I am. May we continue to glean this treasure and to allow this treasure to be seen so that all might know that the power belongs to God and that we are simply clay pots, simple, common, ordinary vessels sharing the love and forgiveness of Christ with a world that needs it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.